260 Dugout Podcast is sponsored by McMahon's Best One Auto, GSP Hitting, and Old Fort Baseball Company.
Yeah. DC. Turn the lights on the diamond. Man. This that 260 Dugout. Mic up, DC in the chair, talking for Wayne Dirt. Red clay in the air, from the sandlot days. Scrape knees, hand-me-down gloves to park view nights. Pack seats, hometown love, Summer City Sluggers. Little homies with a dream. Little league lines, chalk bright, fresh seams. Ask the guests how it started, how they carried the doubt. Now they legends in the making on the 260 Dugout. Yeah, it's that 260 Dugout. Pull up, let the stories come out. From the cages to the lights, that's what we about. Four ain't on the cap, we ain't never gonna bow out. 260 Dugout,
say it.
260 Dugout,
louder.
From the kids to the pros, that's the route. Every dream gets a swing in the 260 Dugout. Parkview Field, see the 10 caps play. Sunset sitting on the third baseline all day. Cold drink, crowd buzz, first pitch in the dirt. Whole city in the stands, rocking same logo shirts. DC talking with the voices that we grew up around. Ground crew to the coaches that protected the mound. If you ever felt that pressure with two strikes and two out, you already know the feeling of the 260 Dugout. Yeah, it's that 260 Dugout. Pull up, let the stories come out. From the cages to the lights, that's what we about. Four ain't on the cap, we ain't ever gonna bow out. 260 Dugout,
say it.
260 Dugout,
louder.
From the kids to the pros, that's the route. Every dream gets a swing in the 260 Dugout.
From the backstop fence to the radio waves.
Radio waves.
Every small town spark, every big league craze.
Big league craze.
If you ever caught hope in the palm of your hand, you part of this story, you part of this land.
It's that 260 Dugout. Pull up, let the stories come out. From the cages to the lights, that's what we about. Four ain't on the cap, we ain't ever gonna bow out. 260 Dugout.
Hey.
260 Dugout. From the kids to the pros, that's the route. Every dream gets a swing in the 260 Dugout.
And welcome in. This is the 260 Dugout Podcast. I am your host, DC Hendricks. Before we get started, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Apple, Google Play, Spotify, and everywhere podcasts are available. Go ahead and make us one of your favorites by subscribing to keep up. If you're on Apple or Spotify, hit that follow button and to keep up with it. And go ahead and click write a review and let us know what you are thinking of this show. It's semi-state week for our local baseball teams, and we are lucky enough to have seven area baseball teams that will be taking place on the field this weekend in search of a semi-state title. In Class 4A semi-state at Griffith, you got the 24-6 Penn Kingsmen. At 3 p.m. Eastern Time, they'll be facing the 15-10 Snyder Panthers, who will face the winner of Zionsville and Lake Central. Moving over to 3A semi-state at LaPorte, that's where I will be at. I got approved for media coverage to go over to LaPorte, Indiana, so I'm very excited to get my first taste of semi-state baseball as a media member. Shout out to the IHSAA for allowing me to come over and show some support for our local teams. It'll be the Northwood Panthers, 18-12, facing the Norwell Knights, who are 19-8 on the season. That game will begin around 11:30 a.m. Eastern time, so it'll be 10:30 a.m. Central time, since they are the Central time zone. And also in 3A semi-state at LaPorte, you got Andrean, the Fighting 59ers, who are 28-3 on the season. They're facing those DeKalb Barons, who are 21-4 on the season. That's Class 3A. Let's move over to the 2A semi-state at Oak Hill. Lafayette Central Catholic Knights, 25-6 on the season, facing the red-hot Bluffton Tigers, who are 17-10 on the season. Can those home run balls and that power in that lineup sustain that success against a legendary Lafayette Central Catholic baseball program? And also in 2A semi-state at Oak Hill, you got the 26-4 Eastbrook Panthers facing the 21-8 Lakeland Lakers. And finally, Class 1A Semi-State at Lafayette Jeff. You got the Blackhawk Christian Braves, who are just 9-14 on the season, facing the 19-12 North Miami Warriors. That's your semi-state matchups. Very excited, as this week's episode, I get to talk to two coaches. Speaking of Blackhawk Christian, I'll be joined by the head coach, Kevin Kennison, to talk some Blackhawk Christian Braves baseball as they prepare for North Miami. I'll also be joined by Josh Klinkenbeard, the head coach of the Snyder Panthers, as they embark on the Penn Kingsmen. They'll be looking to face them in Class 4A semi-state. I'll be joined by a couple of those coaches. And, of course, I got to be joined by a couple of players. Very excited to talk to Levi Cook, a senior for the Lakeland Lakers. And I will also be joined by Griffin Morgan, a senior for the Bluffton Tigers as well. So, fun episode today, learning a little bit about some programs I haven't got to learn about or talk to this season. So, let's go ahead. Let's start with a couple of the players. I want to start off. Let's go to Griffin Morgan of the Bluffton Tigers. And then we'll be joined by Levi Cook of Lakeland. And then we'll get into our chat with the head coaches. One of those teams I've been trying to catch up with all year. And the one that we're joined today, the senior leader of the Bluffton baseball program, the Bluffton Tigers, we got Griffin Morgan. Griffin, what's going on?
Nothing. What's up with you?
Not much. I know you guys are super busy this week, preparing for semi-state baseball. But before we even get to that, just catching up, I wanted to talk to you because you've been killing it all year. 349 at the plate, leading the team in home runs with 9. I know you and Axton are pretty much Barry Bonds and without the roids.
Yeah.
Going back to back pretty much all year, it felt like.
Yeah.
Tearing the ball up, man. What has been working right for you this season?
The hitting is a strange story. So I'm going to be a PO next year at UNOH, and that's all I've been working on all year. Like hitting was just, I was just going to try to hit at 300 all year, uh-huh, be there for the team when they needed it. And
King talked to me countless times throughout
the couple spring practices we had. And he was like, I'm going to need you to hit. You have to start practicing. And I mean, first 5 games, I hit 2 home runs and I was like, okay, it's fun when you're hot. And I was just waiting to come back down to earth a little bit. It never really happened, and I just took that and ran with it a little bit.
Yeah, at this point, this is who you are, man. You're a power hitter.
I mean, yeah.
9 home runs.
Yeah.
I probably didn't hit 9 home runs in my entire baseball career.
yeah.
And you hit 9 in 1 year. A great way to wrap up your senior season. So, like, what do you attest that to? I mean, just the work you've been putting in for that. But, like, I mean, I got to imagine, are you seeing a beach ball at the plate? Like, what do you attest the success to?
That's what it feels like. It definitely feels like I'm seeing something a lot bigger than a baseball when it comes in to the plate. But, yeah, I mean,
I've been playing baseball for a long time. I mean, my dad was the coach here for 18 years, so I've been around the game my whole entire life. Mm.
So it's kind of like a second nature. But I always put a lot of pressure on myself at the plate, and taking a little bit of that pressure off this year, like, has helped tremendously, obviously, but a little bit of that, and that's came together a little bit.
Yeah, and I know you as well from football, which you're a monster on the football field too. So just to give everybody, not really a peek behind the curtain, but just giving them a heads up, you're a big boy. And I think that might have helped too, just putting on a little bit of muscle that you have going into this year. But other than Axton, tell me about some of your teammates. You know, I feel like everybody's been talking about you and Axton all year, and obviously the power that you guys have possessed. But who are some of the other – there's obviously other guys that have been helping the program. Otherwise, you guys wouldn't be in semi-state.
I mean, it takes
a team effort to get there. So who are some of the other guys that you think people may be missing that have been balling as well?
Colton Arnold first. He's had a tremendous role for us this year. I've not pitched to my capability sometimes this year, and he's picked up the slack every single time, and he's been pitching phenomenal. Also at the plate, he's tremendous. He's got 3 or 4 home runs, and everybody through the lineup has had, I mean, we have 25 or 26 home runs. So, I mean, we had one last year. So, I mean, the work started in the winter, and everybody went up after school, and we hit, and it's paid off. So, Arnold, A.J. Streveler has been huge for us, too, at the plate.
Yep.
Playing shortstop for us, too, and moving Colton to third. He's bringing the infield together pretty good. Abram Garrett, DH, is for us. He's got three home runs, I'm pretty sure. So bringing a lot of power to the plate has been good for us. Working our way on first from walks and reaching first and having that power to come behind everybody has been great.
Yeah, so just trying to learn a little bit about the program because I haven't been able to catch up with Coach King. Describe the kind of program you guys got. What does Coach try to preach to you guys to get you guys ready for game day? And also, not in any given day, but also what are you guys, you know, kind of getting ready for the big semi-state matchup?
King's motto is sharpen the knife. So every day he's talking about sharpen the knife and sharpening that for the games to come. And he's been talking about that since winter workouts. And now it just comes into play right now as we've been sharpening the knife every day at practice, every game, preparing for this moment. And that's how King is. I mean, he's a phenomenal coach and
he's a statistical guy. Like he knows everything.
He knows everything about the game, but him sticking on us a lot, not letting us drift off. I mean, we played on Drain earlier in the year, and I mean, that's a prestigious program, one of the best in Indiana. And I think we got smacked, obviously, but going up there and having that experience and seeing a program like that and what they do and the leadership that they have and the accountability that their players hold for their players, that was huge for us seeing that. And we've kind of implemented that here to the end of the year and obviously started to work a little bit. And it started to pay off a little bit.
So what games this season have stood out to you? So me personally, you know, I haven't got to see you guys in person, at least not more than like an inning. I was able to catch like an inning of the game against Norwell when you guys beat by a run. I caught like an inning of that, but I don't really count that. But what this season, what games stand out to you as games that you would – if people were able to come out and see you guys play, you would describe this is the best baseball that Bluffton Tigers can play.
I'd say these
last three games and at the start of Heritage, Heritage is when we really put it together. We put the bats together. We didn't walk people. We played real fundamentally sound baseball. And that's what we had been waiting for all years, putting everything together. We always doing – we're either hitting real well or we're walking seven guys. Like we could never really put something together. And then that Heritage game, we really put it together and realized, okay, this is the team we can be if we're playing fundamentally sound baseball. We're hitting, we're throwing strikes, we're not walking people, making errors. And then we carried that in the first game of sectional with Lures. And Lures is a pretty good team. And we knew we had to play seven real sound innings to beat them. And that's where it started. We put those innings together and took it into Woodland. And Woodland played us real tough in the conference. I think we won 7-5, 7-6 or something. Mm-hmm. And we didn't put it together that game. We had four or five errors. I had four walks. Our bats saved us. And that's the one thing that we had that day. And then in the sectional, we finally put it together. And we knew what we had to do. And we took care of business, winning 14-0, I think, then. And then, I mean, Bremen, obviously, you gave up three hits. We had one walk. Mm-hmm. And everybody hit the ball all over the place. So trying to carry that, and that's good to play. I mean, playing your best baseball in early June is what needs to happen. And we're just trying to carry that into game after game and see what can happen.
It's a good mentality. You can definitely tell you're a senior and a leader on the team. Very, very well said, young man. Very well said.
So what's
the next step for you after this? I haven't been able to catch up with you. I know you're, like I said, one heck of a football player as well. Do you have any plans for college as of right now?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the University of Northwestern Ohio in Lima, and I'm going to pitch there. Nice. Probably, probably hit now. and then they have an HVAC program that I'm going to take down there and get certified in that.
That is awesome. Sounds like a good plan. You know what else sounds like a good plan is beating Lafayette Central Catholic this weekend.
That is the plan. That is the plan.
Hey, thank you so much for coming on. Good luck.
Yeah.
And keep in touch. I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys got.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. See you. Take care.
See you. You too.
So I'm ready to dig into the Lakeland Lakers baseball program. We are joined by one of the top players for Lakeland. We got Levi. Levi joining us here right now on the podcast. We got Levi Cook, the senior leader, along with, you know, this Lakeland team that's making a deep run. Levi, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just playing baseball still. I'm happy to be playing for high school.
That's right. Especially as a senior, right? It's got to feel good to still be playing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah, tell me about the season. How's it gone? You know what? You know, I think you guys won 21 games this season. Always good to win 20 games in a high school baseball season. So describe how this season has gone for you guys.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good season. We've had our ups and downs. We've been very consistent on working on not getting too high in the good moments, not getting too low in bad moments. Just our coach pounds that in our head all the time that we got to stay level, can't let our emotions control us, and that has really helped us out here lately, especially in that regional game.
So this season being your senior season, which I felt like this year had a lot of rainouts more than usual. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But what games so far, you know, I mean, obviously you hope to keep playing, so maybe more games ahead. But so far this season, what games have stood out to you as some of your, I guess, personal favorite games, not only just individually, but as a team from this season?
Obviously, this last regional game, coming back from 6-1 deficit in the fourth. Also, we had Angola, got rained out early. We had doubleheader, had to play them later in the season. Being down 3-0 going into the sixth and being able to get and score four runs in that final two innings to solidify a share conference, that was a big one. And then also Goshen early in the season, knowing they made a deep run last year, and that first game being able to put up 10 runs on their ace, Ryan Diaz, that was a big confidence booster.
Yeah, I remember that. That was the first time you guys really caught my eye, for sure. I seen that box score on Game Changer, and I'm like, whoa, okay. Lakeland trying to make some noise this year. And you guys have definitely done that. I mean, still playing ball this late in the year. So describe some of the guys that you think have helped. I mean, obviously you are hitting, I know, well over 400. So, you're definitely doing your thing. Mm-hmm. Who are some other guys that are definitely balling for the program right now as well?
I mean, at the plate, we got all our guys can all hit the ball. But Dylan Bateman, he's another senior leader alongside me. He's been smashing the ball. Garrett Pieri, very good three-hole hitter for us. And Keenan Royal, he is amazing at our leadoff. He sees so many pitches and just finds a way to get on. Might not smoke the ball every time. He'll go 6-7 pitches, get a walk, get hit by pitch. It's great leadoff, great way to start our games.
Yeah, so you right now, you're extra busy because aren't you playing travel ball at the same time right now? I couldn't – like, what team are you playing for?
So I'm playing for Marucci. We're called Midwest Pack. It's an 18U commit team. But we have our first tournament next weekend. Hopefully we're not playing, you know, because I don't even be in that state final game. But right, we start next weekend playing in the Upland area.
Okay, yeah, that's a solid program to be in too. So you're definitely doing that. So what are your steps after high school is over? What are you planning on doing?
So I'm doing that travel ball, and then after I'm going to Glen Oaks Community College up in Michigan, and then hopefully I'm going to transfer out of there and go somewhere bigger.
And you're playing ball, correct?
Yes, sir.
Of course. Yeah, I was going to say, I hope so. I hope so. Too good. I have to be playing somewhere. Describe, you know, obviously it looks like you worked on a lot coming into the season because this year has been very successful for you. So what were some things, you know, as you ended your junior year, what were things that you worked on coming into this year?
I mean, at the end of the junior year, losing to Westview in 9 innings and that sectional championship really lit a fire in all our seniors. Like, we really wanted that last year, and that I just got chills thinking about it right now, but really knowing that we were that close last year. And so I knew I had to put the work in, got the swings going, worked on some pitching because I knew we're losing. We lost our senior captain last year, Carson Mickham, through 40 innings for us. So I had to work on different pitches, getting my arm stronger for that, and just working them behind the plate because that's one of the most important positions, and that's where I've been playing. So got to command the field from behind there.
Yeah, and so how would you describe this program? You know, how do you guys play? What are your strengths with the Lakeland baseball program?
We all just believe in each other. Like, we might not be the most talented team, but we know whoever's on the mound, whoever's up to bat, whoever's making a play in the field, that we believe in them, and they have that confidence as well. And it's just we call ourselves the brotherhood. So we all, like, are closely knit. We all hang out outside of practice. So we all believe in each other and just have that confidence. And when you have confidence, good things are going to happen.
So what does it mean to you, you know, to be recognized? You know, I know a lot of guys, there's some guys that don't really care about, you know, recognition, you know, when it comes to like awards or honorable mention or first teams or anything like that. What does it mean for you to have your name in those, you know, in those, with those mentions and talk in terms of being an all-conference player?
It's special because growing up, this is like something I dreamed about doing just like any other kid. I've played football, basketball as well my whole life, but it doesn't happen without the help with my teammates, my parents, my coaches, everyone growing me as a man to be in the spot I am.
So as your approach for the playoffs, you know, you were, like you said, the sectional championship last year, losing to Westview kind of lit a fire in you. Mm-hmm. And obviously this year has been really successful for you. So what did you change about, you know, and this could be a team question as well, but from your perspective, what was the mindset going into the playoffs? And for younger kids, you know, that are watching this or listening to this, what would be some advice, and, you know, as they approach playoffs, what should they have in their back of their mind?
Just never give up. Like last year, we were probably more talented than we are this year. Lost some really good seniors, but this year we just know how to fight through adversity. And so being able to keep your mind in that state where you're never like in down on yourself, like where you're going to lose, have that confidence that you're going to be able to fight back and win those games, and just take it one step at a time. Don't try to get, say you're down 5 runs, don't try to get all those runs at one time. Just chip away, keep pressure on other teams, and eventually they'll fold.
So we're looking ahead a little bit. We got the next game on Saturday, Simi State, Eastbrook. You know anything about Eastbrook?
I know they're a really great program, great team this year. Got some good arms, some good bats. They manufacture runs. We've been looking into them this week. They like playing small ball, but it's okay. We know how to take care of that.
That's right. I love to hear it. Love to hear it. Lakeland Lakers player Levi Cook joining us here. I'm very excited for this Lakeland program. You guys kind of went under the radar. Like, I feel like you guys just kind of snuck. I mean, the NECC kind of always is like that, where, you know, I just feel like there's always a sneaky team that does well and gets hot at the right time. And I feel like you guys definitely did that, got hot at the right time. You're playing ball in June, which is when you want to be playing your best ball. So good luck, man, the rest of the way. I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys do and keep playing. Like you said, hopefully you're not playing in that travel, that first tournament. Hopefully you're playing. Hopefully you're playing for something else. So good luck, man.
Thank you.
If you're listening right now, I want you to picture this scenario. You're on your way to practice or running late for a game. We all do it. You hop in the car, you get it started. Just like that, boom. Tire pressure light comes on. Brakes start squeaking. Dashboard lights up like the stadium lights on a Friday night. But don't stress. Relax. Take it to McMahon's Best One Auto. They got you from quick oil changes and flat tire repairs to brakes, alignments, and engine diagnostics. And just like that, they'll get you back on the road fast. That way you don't miss practice, the game, or hanging out with your friends. With 8 locations in Fort Wayne, New Haven, Lima, Ohio, and Bryan, Ohio, McMahon's Best One's got your back. So why wait? Schedule your appointment today at McMahon'sBestOneTire.com. McMahon's Best One, keeping you ready for game day. And one of the teams, one of the unsung hero teams that we have in the area that nobody was really given the love during the regular season. I feel like kind of went under the radar while, you know, everybody was talking about the, you know, the big time programs. And that's why I love, you know, these kind of stories, is because they kind of came unprecedented. This run has been fantastic to watch. And I think everybody knew it would come down to Canterbury in this program, and whoever won that matchup would be advancing pretty much to this. But they have exceeded all expectations, and nobody should be shocked, because head coach Kevin Kennison, head coach of the Blackhawk Christian Braves, is joining us right now in the pod. Coach, what's going on?
Not much. How are you doing today?
I am doing awesome, but not as good as you. You're getting ready to embark on some semi-state baseball. If you know, it's been a great season. How would you recap how this season has went for your program?
It's, you know, obviously went pretty well here at the end. We started out a little slow. We knew we were going to be young in some spots, and we knew we were going to have to develop as the season went on. And fortunately for us, we got to the end there and we started playing some of our best baseball. And that's kind of what you have to do in a one game tournament and you're out, is you got to be playing really well at the end.
Yeah. And you mentioned, I mean, I guess the slow start could be credited too, though. You had a really, really solid, tough schedule, especially for a 118. Do you think that kind of helped the guys get prepared for this run? You know, as you went through this season, you played against Homestead, you played against Snyder, you played the big programs and played them really tough. I mean, one run games that you guys held in. Do you think that kind of got the guys ready for this postseason run?
Yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword. Sometimes when you stack up a lot of losses in a row, it can kind of defeat you mentally. But if you really start looking at what you're doing during the year and you're looking at your performance and not the outcome, you can use it to your advantage and realize that just because those schools are bigger, they can only play nine at a time. Mm-hmm. So you've kind of got to look at it to the point of how did we play, not necessarily the outcome. What did we have, give ourselves an opportunity to be successful at the end of that game, or did we just fail because we didn't show up? And as the year progressed, they started buying into that a little bit more. Like I said, with the younger guys, they haven't heard that message too much. And some of the other guys that have been here, we typically try to schedule as hard as we can because we want to play tough competition. And like I said, if we can keep our minds right and use those little mini failures here or there as learning opportunities and growth opportunities, then we're in good shape usually at the end of the year.
So my personal opinion, you know, on the how this season has gone, and, you know, just looking back at some of the games, in my personal opinion, I thought the game, and it's kind of alluding to my next question, because I feel like teams have those, you know, those moments where they realize, you know, we could really make a run here. And that game that I think I noticed where you guys would be able to make a run, I go back to May 7th against Canterbury. It was at Canterbury. Was at that game for a few innings. Got to catch a couple. Pounded on them. Pounded on Canterbury. I think it was like 14-2 or 14-3 final score it ended up being. But that game for me was the moment I realized that this program was legit and could possibly make a deep run in the 1A state tournament. From your perspective, what would you say was the game that really set aside this program and really made not only you but the players believe that you could really make a good run?
I think that, you know, I agree with you. I think that one was like you said, started of a turning point. We also went down and played Bluffton and lost on a home run 1-0 at Bluffton, and we played pretty good there. And we didn't swing the bats quite as well as we wanted, but we were swinging them a little bit better, hitting balls right at guys. And then, obviously, when you can stay in a game with Homestead, as good as those guys are every year, you know, sometimes we show up and some of our guys are kind of shell-shocked a little bit. But for them to be able to stay in that game and realize, hey, you know, they're just young men like we are, we just got to perform. And if we play clean, we've got a chance. And that's pretty much the message we try to preach to them all year is, hey, play clean. Just keep playing clean, and then baseball kind of falls that way. If you make the routine plays routine, you got an opportunity to end the games to be successful. But really, I would say those three games, you can see where the guys kind of were building a little bit of confidence, which it's hard to do in losses a lot of times. But you can see where they're starting to believe in themselves just a little bit.
Yeah, I remember that game. I think Jacob Erb was on the mound for Homestead that game. Connor Deem, I think, was on the mound. And that was another game where I noticed, because I wasn't able to make that game. But I remember looking at Game Changer after the game, just looking at the box score. I'm like, man, that game was really close, and was just looking at the stats. Remember looking back, and yeah, that was another game. Yeah, I should have mentioned that one too. You know, breaking moments for this season. So, how would you describe this program? What makes it special? What makes your program tick, and what has been the success? What do you guys do well?
But I think it's the kids, the kids that we have. They're all good kids, and I think every coach would probably say that. And when they buy in and they work hard early on, and I think it was our second or third practice inside this year, I pulled them up, and I'm not a guy that's just going to tell you something to, make you feel good about yourself. I'm more of a challenger than I am an encourager. Old school, you know how it is. We got yelled at when somebody was showing you love. They screamed it at you when I was a kid, So
yeah.
I try not to yell at the guys because they're just not used to it. But I did tell them, I thought if we worked hard the rest of the year, I liked what I saw. And I said, you guys feel like a team in the past that we can make a little run if you guys believe in yourselves. But sometimes it takes them a while to believe what you're telling them. And it's just nice that at this time of the year, you get the opportunity to see these guys believe in themselves a little bit, and maybe start to see as not only as a team, but as individuals, hey, you're probably a little bit better than what you think you are. And, go ahead and go out there and play as hard as you can and let the chips fall where they may.
I love it. That old school mentality. We need more like it. We need more of it, coach. We need.
Yeah. It's hard to get it out of you when that's what you grew up with. And, I was fortunate enough to play football at Snyder High School back with Coach Holly and Coach Isaacs and Coach Bush and Coach Fast and Coach Arnold. And, I'm going to be 57 this year. And I remember those guys just pouring into me, and it wasn't always easy, but they got after you. And Coach Tippman that's there now is a couple years younger than me. And I know he went through it. And I had really good baseball coaches as well, Coach Hay and Coach Russo, and then in college. But those men marked my life, along with my dad and some men at church that taught me, you just gotta go out there and work. The rest of it you can't control. Just work hard, trust yourself, trust your teammates, and see what happens. And trying to get through that with some of the kids nowadays, they want instant gratification. It's just not going to come. You got to put in the work, and you might not get the gratification out of it right away. It's going to take some time, but when you do, it's always going to be there.
That's right. Couldn't have said it better myself, coach. So how long have you been at Blackhawk, and did you have any coaching positions prior to this?
So my first year was the spring of 2009. And then right after college, I'm trying to think what year it was, around 92, I coached 3 years at IPFW under Matt Kinzer. And then I coached 1 year in a Woodbat League for the Richmond Roosters in 97, I believe it was.
Huh. Yeah, that's – so I played against you. Did you play against Matt Harmon when he was coach of Southside?
Yes. Yeah, I think we had all right, you're testing my memory here. I think we played our first game, and it was at Foster Park, and it was before spring break because the kids were leaving the next day. So it was either Thursday or Friday, and it was like 90-some degrees out. A real sunny, beautiful day. So I don't know if you were on that team, but that, I think, was either 09 or 2010, somewhere around there.
Okay. Yeah, it was. I was gonna say, yeah, mine was Harmon. I believe my senior year was either Harmon's last year or he went one more year in 2010. But I was a senior when Will Corson Carr was a freshman.
Yeah, he threw against us, and then he got better, and every year they threw him against us just so he could get like 20 some strikeouts a year to start the season out. I think that kid was good. He was fun to watch, but not quite as much fun as you would think it would be. But it's tough to watch guys walk up and walk back a whole day, But he was a stud, man.
I hear you. Yeah, that's a good friend of mine too, developed over the years. So yeah,
he's a good guy from what I understand. I don't know him very well. I've talked to him a couple times, but real good man.
Yeah, he's out in Thailand right now, coaching kids over in Thailand.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so, yeah, shout out Will Corson Carr one more time on the pod. So, yeah, this team, You know, talk to me about some of the guys that you think have, you know, kind of stood out for you guys. You got a lot of guys that have been doing great things for you. Go ahead and highlight some of the guys that you think helped make Blackhawk baseball this season.
Well, we've had a couple of seniors that this will actually be their second trip to the semi-state. Brady Ellington and Brant Knutson, and they both played pretty well this year. They've had some big hits. They both pitch a little bit for us, and they just done a good job of leading and just being young men that you look for to lead a program. And they've, like I said, played some really good baseball. You've got Kyler Wood out in center field. Although he hasn't been able to throw much this year, he's got a little bit of a forearm strain. He's been hitting the ball extremely well. He's a competitor. He goes and gets it in the outfield, doesn't make a lot of mistakes, runs the bases real well. We've got Max Warner, which Kyle Ward's a sophomore. Max Warner's another sophomore. And he's really been.
Max is only a sophomore?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's looked really good on the mound. And you know, I was telling the other coaches, I said, the scary thing is like, he's got so much room to improve too, but you know, he's done well at the plate on the mound. He's just a high character guy. You know, one of the best compliments I tell people I can give somebody, that's somebody I'd like to marry one of my daughters or some, you know, that type of character. You know, he comes every day ready to play with a good attitude. Isaac Staten's been playing well. Chip Bennett, our catcher, he took on a new position this year, and he's been working real hard, and seeing him improve from behind the plate, that's not always an easy position to take up, and he's done a really good job behind the plate and fighting through. You know, it's the tough part is fighting the fight between your ears to when things aren't going the way you want them, and to be able to go out and to keep competing. And I think he's done a good job of that. A lot of the guys have. You know, we got three freshmen that are in our lineup, Hudson Amstutz, Byron Opinger, and Carson Joseph, that they've stepped up and played really well. Let's see, who else is there's really nobody left, I don't think. I think I got everybody.
Yeah, I think that was the whole roster.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the real important thing that I hope that these guys listen to it is the guys that don't get in as much, they need to understand that without them, none of this happens either.
That's right.
You know, pushing each other and helping each other out and just trying to compete for a position every day and trying to make these other guys, you know, hey, you know, if you're not going to do the job, you can watch me. And when you can compete a little bit in practice, it makes the games a lot easier.
Yeah, so this run so far has been really good, Coach. Caston, Canterbury went down. You got North Miami now. So what do you know about them?
Not a whole lot. You know, the funny thing is I don't really go out and try to get a whole lot of information. We'll look at stats just to see, you know, who's throwing the missed innings. You know, you can kind of check out strikeouts to walk ratios, see if they're a control pitcher. And basically, you know, I guess at high school level, if we can play consistently and clean and take care of what we need to, once again, we're going to be in a good position to be in the game at the end there. And so what they do, we know they're going to be good at pitching, catching, hitting. You know, they're going to be good at the things you need to be good at to be at this level. So you just got to play your game, be clean, and if they happen to make a mistake, try to take advantage of their mistakes.
I love it. Yeah, I remember they played Carroll earlier this season. That was the one game that I remember them. They lost 11-10, so a close one there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they're going to, you know, last week, Caston, I was talking to their coach, you know, and I told him, I said, you guys just wouldn't go away. You just kept swinging the bats. And I said, that's impressive. So, you know, there's going to be a fight. You know, every kid, you know, he's dreaming of getting to that state final. So every out's going to be hard. I told the guys, you know, in the seventh inning last week, I go, these are the three hardest outs to get in baseball. I said, let's get the first one, you know, and then we'll get the second one. Don't get ahead of yourself. Just take it one at a time.
Sounds great, Coach. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping you guys come out and play some great baseball, and whatever results into that, as long as you can walk away and say you played some great baseball, I think we could be more than proud here from Fort Wayne. You guys have made a great run this year, and let's continue it. Let's go Braves, right?
Yes, sir. We'll do the best we can, and God will take care of the rest for us.
I love to hear it, Coach. You guys have made a great run, and I'm really glad I finally got to connect with you. I've talked to some of the guys throughout the season, but I've been wanting to connect with you since media day. So very, very, very excited to finally talk with you today. You're one of the, one of the coaches that, I respect the most just because of your old style approach. I've heard great things about you from Matt Harmon as well, who's been telling me about you. So keep doing what you're doing, Coach, and go Blackhawk Braves.
Hey, thanks, DC. I really appreciate the time you put in to promote the baseball in Northeast Indiana and around the state. And it's good meeting with you, and hopefully we can connect sometime on a personal level and get to know each other a little better. And may God bless you today, brother.
Thank you. Same to you. And I will look forward to seeing you this summer at some point. If not, I'll see you at Media Day next year, right?
Yes, sir. We'll get there if we can get there.
I love to hear it. Thanks, Coach. Take care, okay, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Baseball in Fort Wayne isn't just a game. It's history. From sandlots to stadium lights, the stories of this city live on through the teams, the players, and the fans who never left. That's what we're building at Old Fort Baseball Co. Apparel inspired by Fort Wayne's past, designed for right now. Whether you grew up at the ballpark or you're just finding your love for the game, this is your city. This is your team. Shop the collection at oldfortbaseballco.com.
And as we continue our semi-state coverage here on the 260 Dugout Podcast, the coach I've been wanting to catch up with since media day. I've been out checking out this team. I believe other than it's either them or Homestead, the two teams I've seen the most this season and gotten to check them out. I think Snyder takes the lead, though. I got to see Snyder a few times this year. So let's go ahead and talk a little Snyder Panthers baseball. Still playing.
Yeah.
And, amidst it all, the Snyder Panthers still rolling. What's going on, Coach Klinkenbeard?
Hey, thanks for having us. We appreciate it. Yeah, it's exciting times.
Yep, still rolling, still playing ball. And I know you're probably not a guy that pays attention to, all the predictions and that stuff, but the players probably do. But let's just say, I don't think people expect Snyder to still be playing ball right now.
Yeah. I don't do the social media stuff and all that. And, that's me, and other people do, and that's them. That's great. And, that's okay. We've kind of taken the underdog role. I think just historically our school in general kind of takes that underdog role, and that's just fine with us. But when you get to this level of baseball, it's anybody can win a game. Anybody can win that one game, against Huntington North. It was what a great game. Both teams just literally laid it out on the field, and we were just fortunate enough to, make one more play than they did. And, it's a game of inches. Now, I think back to a hit that Goyle had, and it tipped off the third baseman's glove. I think it scored a run there. And, just think about a few inches forward, that's an out. And it's just – there's a little bit of luck and some baseball magic involved in this, in any run that you make at this postseason play. So we're very fortunate to be alive. And again, taking the underdog role, that's just fine with us. You kind of feel like the other teams got more pressure than us, and that's kind of how we roll.
That's good. I love it. Yeah. I love it. I love that attitude. The team has grit. That's the way I describe them. This team does not quit. They got grit, and they believe they can beat anyone on any given day. And I love it. I love this group of kids that you got.
Yep.
And coming into the season, when I talk to a media day, all the vibes around the building is, Snyder's high in the power rankings to start the season, but they lost a lot. That was the storyline. They lost Brandon Logan. They lost Landon Fry. But this season, you've had a group of guys step up. I wanted you to talk about some guys that have stepped up for you this year for Snyder.
Yeah, certainly. Looking at our starting lineup, it's kind of just a surprise. We haven't really gone through this, at least in my era, that we start so many younger players, especially in the sophomores. But speaking of those sophomores, I just had mentioned Adrian Goyle. We saw a lot from him as a freshman, and we kind of had a pretty decent projection that he's going to be a ball player, and he's really evolved into that role at second base. He's versatile, can play shortstop also. His offense has really, really come to life too, and he's filled out. I think that's his testament of working hard and putting some time into his crafts there at the defense and offense. Another underclassman guy that's really showed up defensively has been Johnny Deisler. So, it's very difficult to kind of come into the shadow of Brandon Logan, where he had so many accolades and such an outstanding offense and defensive player. But I tell you what, you know, given some time, boy, Dicer is a great, great defensive tracker there in center field. His offense is going to come. I know he's a little frustrated with some of his at-bats recently, but, you know, he's a youngster and he's figuring out. We literally put him in the fire pretty quick. And then another kind of dual threat there is, you know, Snavely's little brother, kind of little Snave. Gideon is kind of really, you know, solidified that third base spot. I just remember back in our workouts in January, you know, hitting ground balls and whatnot in the gym, just thinking, all right, this guy, he's going to be with us that first day, that first workout. And we kind of told him, hey, you're going to be with the varsity team. And, boy, he is, he's got a high ceiling also. So, you know, those are just a couple of guys that have really kind of shown in the spotlight now that they have that opportunity. Not to mention some other role players that have come along as well. You know, Booga has been fantastic defensively and also on the mound. I just appreciate he comes to work. Like, he doesn't get into the ups and downs of baseball in general. He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. I was kind of joking that our team kind of cookout and award night a couple weeks ago, that if I can get a couple words out of Booga, that's a good day, because he's just got a smile on his face. He just loves playing ball. He loves being out there with the guys. He's such an athlete, and I mean, you can't ask for a better guy. That, you know, especially from the pitcher standpoint, he's not going to get too emotional. He wants the ball. I'm going to pound the zone. So those are just a handful of guys that I off the top of my head there that's really made a pretty decent impact for us filling that new spotlight.
Yeah, the Snyder program has pretty much turned into family lineage as well. You know, you mentioned Gideon playing as a freshman. And one person I wanted to talk about too that I think has been, you know, I posted this, not really poll on Instagram, but it's like you can post like a question and get answers on. And I asked underrated players. And one big name that everyone mentioned was Pete Moorman. What would you say to that?
Yeah. He just, it's kind of funny. I had a former player, actually. He was a senior last year. He's in college now. We had met up, and he said something about how ironic this is that Pete Moorman last year was kind of our Valpo scout team pitcher as we were getting ready to face Valpo last year.
Yeah.
And here he is. He's now switched the role, and he's going to be our starting guy pitching in the semi-state game. So, I mean, the biggest thing I can say about Pete is he is a competitor in terms of his velocity. He's not going to have this huge 12-6 curveball. He just is a guy that wants to compete, and I think he's got the faith that his teammates have got his back. You know, if the guys put in play, that we've got some pretty solid defense. And so he kind of knows his strength. He's going to pitch to his strength. He's not going to blow the ball past some hitters. They're going to make some contact on him, but he's really focused on limiting his walks, limiting those free bases. And man, it just, you see him sort of age right before your very eyes. And, you know, even as a sophomore. So I would agree with you. He is probably underrated. I know he got a couple votes here or there, I think, for some all-conference things, which is fine, but that's not the ultimate goal. You know, he's still on track, and he knows what we all know what he can do and what he means to us, and I think that's really all that matters, you know, what does he mean for us as a team, as a teammate, as opposed to getting accolades from outside sources. I think that's what that means the most, especially to our players.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely a big name that I wanted to mention that's been doing very well. And I love the story, going from scout team pitcher to the starter in Simmonstead. I love that. That's a good story. I'm a sucker for those. I'm a sucker for good stories. But this is a team, you know, I've got to see multiple times this year. And from my personal perspective, and you can, you know, disagree or agree, but the game for me that kind of stood out to where, man, if this team plays like this, they could beat anyone on any given day. And that game that I go to happened literally 9 days ago against Carroll. I love the way you guys played that game. It never felt like you guys were out of it. You guys were 100% locked in that entire game. Would you say what game this season would you say, or games plural, would you say, you know, kind of summarize Snyder Panther baseball and the best that you can be?
Yeah, I would agree with you. And we've kind of been a Jekyll and Hyde type of team this year. It's kind of interesting that leading up to that Carroll game, as we beat Northrop in that first round, as a coaching staff, and I think as our players kind of realized too, we weren't happy with our performance. We weren't happy with the energy that we brought. In fact, the Northrop coach had reached out to me after we had won sectionals, and he congratulated me, and I was quick to respond to him about how pleased I was with their team and how much energy that they had brought that game. And, you know, I was very, very disappointed in our efforts. You know, had a chance to take on a rival school and really take it to them and kind of start that positive play. And we just didn't do it. We were very fortunate to come out with a win in that first round.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very pleased. We did some soul searching. We kind of talked about it as a group about the intensity and what each person could do to literally help us win a game. And we did some soul searching that particular practice, and I think we walked away with a kind of a new face, a new chip on our shoulder. And I think the sense of urgency, especially for our two seniors, that, you know, nothing's guaranteed in life, and you got to really cherish every single moment we have together as a team, that you have together with your family, whatever the case might be. And I think that that message is really kind of hold true here throughout the next couple of weeks. Then. They didn't want to, you know, to turn our things in. We want to stay together one more time. And, I would agree with you that if we could play like that, you know, for, you know, going out, we can beat anybody. You know, obviously we're going to need a little luck here and a good bounce here. But I think, you know, we have a team that can realize with confidence that we can compete. And, and being such a young team, I think that's what it really took. And, you know, I kind of mentioned this, is that you can beat anybody, and anybody can beat us as well. Being so young, again, that they kind of need that reminder that once that first confidence sort of builds, it means so much. It means so much to them. So, you know, hoping that we can build on that confidence throughout the sectional regional here and put on a good show against Penn.
Yeah, the game of baseball any given day. Any given day. I go back. I hate to bring this up because my alma mater did get the best of you this year.
They got you.
So that's a good example. And then now, and then you guys give it to Carroll, and pretty much everybody was counting you out there. So I love the grit of this team. And one guy that, you know, I kind of saved this for last because there's so much pressure on Isaiah Snavely, you know, from outside. Yep. I'm sure you're aware. And he started off a little slow this year, but I think he's definitely coming into his own and showing everybody why he is who he is these last few weeks.
Yeah, and I think one of the things was his, you know, we kind of preached to him about take what teams give you. I think he had so much pressure on him that he had to be Logan and Fry sort of wrapped into one guy. And you can't do that. You can't simulate that. You're your own player. And, you know, we kind of preached on him, like, he obviously, from an offensive standpoint, he wants to hit the ball all over the place. And he caught himself sometimes early in the season kind of chasing some pitches. And I hate to say it's almost as if he got, like, a little bored. You know, he tried to really force the game. And we kind of preached and said, no, let the game... What's more important is hitting base. And I think he's really, really bought into that notion of I can walk and I can maybe steal a base, and now I'm in scoring position now for my teammates. You know, obviously their teams are going to pitch around him a little bit here and there, and I think he's really kind of bought into that challenge that I'm going to pass that torch on to my teammates. I'm going to trust my teammates that they're going to get the job done. So then as a coach, you have to be very mindful of how you set that batting order to make it sort of some threats around, you know, in front of him and behind him, you know, in case teams do decide to do that kind of approach. I know that's what Carroll kind of did. They didn't want to really have any part of it, which I totally get it. I totally understand. Make somebody else beat you. And, you know, that's where some other pressure might come on some other players, in particular, like Jack or Keck, kind of in that batting order spot there.
I love it. Yeah, you guys, you know, you're still playing ball, and now you got Penn. You said you said you might need luck. I don't know about that. You guys, I think you guys can hang. But what are some things you're just trying to get the guys ready for this week?
Yeah, you know, one of the biggest things we really kind of try to reemphasize is, you know, we don't have to do anything special. Nobody has to go 4-for-4. Nobody has to hit 3 home runs. Obviously, we'd love that. But it's not that somebody has to go out and play a spectacular game from top to bottom. What we have to do, though, is play hard, play fast, and play for each other. You know, we have to limit those walks. We have to limit those free bases that we give the other team. When a fly ball's in the air and it's 4 seconds, we've got to catch the ball. You know, whether that be in foul territory or a running play, that's kind of what we harp on. Ball's in the air for 4 seconds, someone's got to catch that thing. We've got to make it on the ground. Let's field it cleanly. Let's make a good, sharp throw like we have, especially here at the end of the year. And, you know, that's really it. I mean, I kind of said the other day in practice, there's no magic formula. There's no magic speech I can give you guys. We have to go out and play our style. That's all that matters. We always kind of take a football mentality approach that we take a peek at the scoreboard when the umpires tell us to go home and see how well we did. Obviously, we hope that we're on top, and we simply have to give ourselves those opportunities to be successful. You know, if we don't limit those walks, if we make those types of errors, then we can't be shocked. You can't be surprised at the outcome. And we kind of relate that back to life. You know, you have to give yourself opportunities to be successful.
I love it, Coach. Very excited for you guys this week. I know you're on your way to practice, so I'll let you go and get going. I know you guys are busy this week. Thank you so much for taking a little bit of time and chatting with me. And good luck this weekend. Go Panthers.
I appreciate the time. Yeah, thank you so much for the show here and all the coverage you've done for the local teams. And, yeah, hopefully some more 260 areas here will come and shine and move on to the next level. So we really appreciate it.
That's right. Thank you so much, Coach. Good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Ready for the next level? At GSP, we build faster, stronger, and more explosive athletes while developing elite baseball and softball hitters. If you're serious about standing out, it's time to train at GSP.